Hello, my name is Hayden Thompson and welcome to the Back of Your Podcast. Now, this show is really for anyone in the hospitality and food manufacturing industries that uses flexible packaging to get their products to market. Here, I'll be talking about everything food packaging and providing you with the information and knowledge that you need to get the right food package into your hands and into the hands of your consumer. I'm really excited to be interviewing guests just like you who have traveled the path that you're on so that you can learn from their successes and failures and engage in the mindset required to go all in on your vision. Now, I personally call this mindset the pack-heavy mentality, and it is driven by deliberate actions such as making the decision to go all in on your vision for your business. So I'm talking about gathering market intelligence, putting a strong plan in place, organizing the appropriate resources, and then executing on your strategy with precision. So if you're packing heavy on your vision, you're definitely in the right place, and I'm really excited to have you here. Good morning and welcome to episode number 3 of the Pack of Your Podcast. Today I'm going to be talking packaging design and brand identity and the graphic design process with Clay Yandel. Now before Clay and I crack on, I just want to mention that it really is widely acknowledged in the retail space that your package is often the first and most meaningful interaction that a consumer will have with your product. Great execution on your packaging design, brand identity, and persona absolutely translates across into your package's shelf appeal, which really allows you to specifically target your key buyer, drive sales, and ultimately the growth of your business. And it's no secret that packaging should be considered a core part of your marketing and sales strategy. Now, Clay at Egg Beater Creative, which is an established graphic design and digital studio based in BC, Canada, really specializes in this creative process. And they come up with solutions for branding, designing, and digital marketing. And they've been doing so for well over 20 years. So welcome to the show, Clay. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us.
Oh, my absolute pleasure, Hayden. Happy to chat with you.
Cheers. Well, I think the best place to start is probably at the start. So Clay, tell me a little about your business and when that, you know, in particular, did you know that you were going to be a designer?
I'm sure every designer has likely a similar story. It probably starts way back in childhood when, you know, you spend all your time drawing and creating, and you find yourself suddenly pulled towards visual communication. So I've always been a visual person, and it's been that way since I was a small kid, and it was just an obvious career path to wind up working in some kind of a arts related or design field.
Yeah. And I mean, did you always know that you wanted to sort of pursue the career of being an entrepreneur and starting your own business, or was that something that just sort of evolved?
I think that just sort of came to me as I was working, after I finished school and I was employed and working for other people, opportunities just came along. And somewhere along the way, it seemed like the idea of working for myself was a path that was desirable. Something that I could see working for me.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's interesting how that occurs. You know, some people are forced into a position where they have to work for themselves, and other people just know it's in their bones. And, you know, if you were beginning your career again from the start, like what mistakes did you make, and, you know, would you do anything different?
What mistakes did I make at the beginning?
No, like were there any sort of, when you look back and reflect upon your career and, you know, your business and where it started and where you are right now, you know, are there some shortcuts that you would make, you know, to speed things up, or are you really happy with the progress and sort of the organic nature that your business grew at?
It's such a good question because I definitely did. When I decided to go out on my own, I made sure to find a mentor, and that was a really important first step. And finding somebody who I knew who had done this before me, I would recommend that to anybody because it certainly gives the right path moving forward. And from what you just said, yes, it did evolve organically. It wasn't that I sat down like a lot of people would when they're building a business and maybe drop a business plan and decide this is the route we want to take, this is the kind of growth we want to have, and so on. For me, it was more about taking an opportunity. And for me, that opportunity was linking myself to one established client that allowed me to make the jump and the leap forward. And from there, it did just evolve over time, as you're suggesting. It was more, it wasn't a a goal that was pre-planned to some extent. It happened over time, but it happened with some guidance and some direction. There certainly was some clear direction on which way we would move and how I would move forward.
Yeah.
And it started out just as me on my own, and then eventually taking on staff and expanding from there.
Mm. Which really is a whole other ball game, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah. For sure. There was times early on where I used to work by myself, and I think I might have done that for about a year and a half before I hired my first person.
Yeah, right.
And it was, I remember after taking on a couple of staff, thinking to myself, boy, I just like working by myself. That was fun when I just had to rely on one person. And as you add more people, you suddenly get to a point where you realize this is much better than just working alone.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess you can take on more projects, and then you can also give yourself an opportunity to sort of step back and start working on your business rather than working within the business, as everybody always says.
That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
Hayden. It was, my role certainly has changed from being a pure designer to becoming more of a managing director.
Yeah.
So the roles change a bit, and good and bad, but ultimately, as long as the work is still creative and it's still challenging, any role is fine.
Yeah, totally. I mean, obviously with me being in sales, I'm out there talking to business owners just like yourself every single day. And one thing that I love having is conversations just like this about the business and the inner workings of it, and, you know, how you started at A and how you got to point B. And one thing that I'm really motivated and sort of part of the motivation behind this podcast was the frame of mind that I find that a lot of entrepreneurs have to get into that doesn't always come naturally, but it's the decision and the moment that you decide to go all in on your vision and on yourself. And I'm calling that the pack heavy mentality. So at what point did you sort of realize, you know what, this is something that I'm going to go all in on? And, you know, was that a moment, or did that sort of just happen over time as well?
Probably a bit of both, a mix of both. Certainly that moment was when I left the company I was at, where I was working as a designer, and realized that I can do this on my own. So that was a big moment to jump in. And rather than move to another company, it was about taking this on and becoming an entrepreneur and what would it be like to run your own business. And then it sort of organically grows from there until you get to a point where you realize changes in the market or changes in technology or direction, all kinds of, there's always something shifting and moving that requires you to rethink what you're doing. And, you know, that great word everybody's using, but it's true. It's to pivot to where your strengths are and to pivot to where the business is, or pivot away from a certain industry that you might be in to expand so that you don't sort of get typecast into one area. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So those decisions are made along the way.
Yeah.
They just reveal themselves.
Yep. And that's such a common conversation that I'm having with a lot of people right now, especially in food manufacturing. So obviously with COVID, the hospitality industry in a lot of ways has been shut down, and there are a lot of people out there struggling from day to day just to keep their doors open. But the great thing is you're seeing a lot of restaurants sort of pivot into the space of prepackaged foods, pre-prepared meals. And so, you know, that entrepreneurial sort of vision of understanding that you've just got to keep moving forward and progressing through what is considered a bit of trouble right now is really cool to sort of witness within these businesses and with these people in particular. So, you know, while I am having conversations with people, one of the conversations that comes up is obviously around packaging, and they're utilizing, or they're coming to us in particular because they are moving into a new space like retail, for example, for the first time. And that question around packaging is pretty heavy for them. And one of the first things that they need to do along, you know, the road that they're embarking on is to speak with a designer like yourself. So when somebody approaches you, whether they're a person that's got a startup and they're hitting the market for the first time, or whether it's an existing business that is pivoting into a new space or relaunching a brand, where do you start the conversation when you're talking to a potential client?
Well, I love that you're talking about this from the perspective of packaging, because packaging is something we came into, or I came into later. We were always about brand development and design. And when we started to understand packaging design, it's a really creative endeavor, and it takes a lot of strategy and it takes a lot of research and forethought, because packaging is like a little mini ad campaign.
Yeah.
It's all sort of bundled into one piece. And if it's, it, you know, I often ask clients, I need to understand what they're doing with their packaging. Like, what are you looking for? Impulse buying off the shelf? Are you selling to a grocery brand? Are you, you know, you have to figure out what is your packaging trying to communicate, and how well does it communicate whatever's inside or whatever brand that you're trying to develop. So often I think a lot of, you talked about startups. I think a lot of clients, I think they underestimate the potential for great packaging design. It has, it can become the success of your, for your sales. If you've got a design that works, that talks to your audience, that is separate from your competition, it, the benefits are enormous. So often when we're talking about packaging design, we have to talk about their entire brand and what their focus is on what they're trying to sell. Then do our very best to show them why we think their design will A, stand out against their competition, and B, be relevant to the consumers that they're trying to target.
Yeah, definitely. So you have the opinion where I guess it's you take a consultative approach to the conversation as well, and you're trying to tease out everybody's priorities and challenges and what exactly their vision is. And my from my perspective, I always love it when people come to me, they've been proactive, they've got some understanding of what it is that they're about to embark on. And then you get another school of people that come in and they actually have no idea what they're looking for and even what they need. So we sort of really have to hold their hand through that process. Now, obviously, if you've got somebody, and I'm always an advocate of that person going out there and packing heavy on their idea and vision and doing all of their research and upfront sort of due diligence, what information would you ultimately love a client to come with you, to you with, and to help either speed up the process or really clarify what it is that you're looking to achieve with them, just so that you're on the same page?
Well, you've alluded to some of those key pieces, and obviously a client that has done the soul searching and has understood what they're, what they've made and what their market looks like.
Yeah.
That's incredibly important. We sometimes have to, somebody will come to us and say, hey, I make this thing, or I make this type of food. And I'll be like, great. It probably, you know, I have no idea, but obviously you know how to make this food. That's fantastic. Why does anybody want to buy it?
Yeah.
Who else is making it? And sometimes those, the most simple questions have to be asked first. Like, why, what are you trying to sell? I know that sounds simplistic, but often that's a really important question. What are you trying to sell? Who are you trying to sell it to? And who else is selling this stuff? You know, where do you sit? So helping them understand that direction is key. And you're exactly right, Hayden. Those clients that have done their research, that have done the work, they understand what they're, what they've got in front of them. They understand who their customers are specifically. They might not know a potential market that that's out there, but at least they understand that their core customers. That sort of, we call it soul searching, but that sort of soul searching and that sort of research is critically important, because ultimately it provides direction for us, so that when we start to design, we can understand, oh, we know who their consumers are. That's this demographic, or it's the people that like this, you know. Then we can decide how we're going to funnel down our approach. What does it look like? Should this thing be, you know, easy, approachable? Should it be conservative? Should it be, you know, there's a million ways to try to build a connection to a brand and through packaging. And so helping clients understand the basic questions about what they have and what they're trying to sell and to whom, to me, that's the best starting point.
Yeah, no, it's so evident, isn't it, when somebody has done the homework up front?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and it's, obviously the conversation is just so easy because you're on the same page right from the very start. But if you're trying to, like, you obviously sort of gave some examples of some information that you're trying to tease out, but do you, so talk to me about your design process. So I noticed on your website that you do have a clear process from start to finish. So sort of walk us through that as an example of how you work with a client.
Sure. We have, for us specifically, and I'm sure we're not that much different than a lot of creative agencies, but we have a 4-step process. We call it the 4 D's, the 4-letter D's. We just call it discover, design, develop, deploy. And each one of those phases, are important parts of the work that we do. And almost every kind, even if any kind of design, whether it's brand design or packaging or whatever, employs those four steps. That discover step is the important one. That's the one where we learn about clients. The thing that I love about my job the most is the fact that you get to learn about somebody and what they're making and what they're doing. And if it's interesting, it's intriguing, and it becomes exciting. The creative juices flow. It's part of our creative process. So discovering and learning about a client and what they have and what they're doing is the first step. We tend to use a lot of visual tools to help with that. People that have ever worked with, like, interior designers or painters, or they use something called a mood board, where lots of times they collect examples, visual styles, and so on. We use a digital mood board that we use to collect anything we can to help funnel down approaches and funnel down ideas.
Kind of like Pinterest. A lot of people come to us with a Pinterest board.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Pinterest if somebody walks in with their own Pinterest board, we get excited because we know they've done the work. They've already sort of figured this stuff out. And you start to understand aesthetic, and you start to understand all kinds of things. It doesn't mean we're necessarily going to agree with it, but because we might have a perspective where we look at this and say, okay, we understand what you've made. We understand what you're trying to sell, but I don't think your aesthetic matches your audience. And then we'll try to justify that. And we're not going to be belligerent about it. We are just going to offer opinions that we will generate based on any kind of work that we can do. Sure. And so I always say to clients at the discover phase, give us everything, you know, show us what you like, show us what you've seen, talk about, you know, often they know their competition, you know, they'll know their competition much more than we will. We have to do a crash course in understanding their products, and they may have been working with them for years. And so hopefully we offer a couple of things. One is we offer outside perspective. Like anything, people always say this, it's good to get a little third person opinion. Some outside perspective allows us to kind of look at it with a fresh lens, look at what's going on, and then reevaluate and hopefully give them some creative ideas. The other thing is we've got some experience. So being able to draw from anything we've done in the past to help provide a solution for now is imperative. So that discover phase is huge. And if clients can participate, and if clients can just collect whatever they have, we just help facilitate that. Because sometimes people just aren't good at it. You mentioned Pinterest. Great. Fantastic tool if you use it. If you don't, then we provide people with a way to sort of start to help them collect their ideas a bit. And I keep using that word funnel. But it's about funneling ideas down to a direction. It's about funneling information towards a strategy. And what we do at the discover phase is really help funnel things down so that we're not just poking and stabbing at a design direction. We want to make sure that whatever we do is cohesive and on point.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. So that's the first D, that's discover. So if we move on to the second, which was...
Design.
All right.
And that's the fun part. That's where we actually start to work and we start.
That's where the rubber hits the road. Yeah. Got you.
Absolutely. And I always say to people, you know, this is the part that is one, as you know, coming from a sales background, one of the things that everybody needs to work with is a budget.
Absolutely.
And budgets can be tricky because we're talking about a creative realm. We're not talking about, we're going to build this thing this way. We're going to build a box and here's how you build it. Or we're going to pre-buy basketballs and sell them off the shelf. This is about a process, a creative process. And the creative process is fluid. Sometimes it works quickly. Sometimes it needs a bit more labor, needs more massaging.
Time to develop, yeah.
And so it's a really tough one. So when we create budgets, we always create them in ranges. Mm. And it seems like an unorthodox way of doing things, but we'll tell somebody, okay, this concept that we have to work out, we feel it will take this, you know, a short amount of time, and this is the long amount of time. And our target is somewhere in the middle. So we say, if we're expeditious, we're going to hit it here. And if this gets a bit drawn out because the process is hard to extract, it's going to be out here. And somewhere in the middle is what we're targeting. We've done this enough. I always tell people, I've been doing this for well over 20 years. I still don't have the formula perfected. It's just not something you can nail down. You have to sort of manage people's expectations and let them know that you have to trust the process, work through it, and ultimately you'll find a design solution. Mm-hmm. So the design process is that. taking those, all that research, all that information that's been very critical at the beginning, funneled down into a design direction, and then off we go. And I was reviewing a project today that was very much like that. It was a design direction that took a lot of energy to sort of bring in the aesthetic that we were looking for. And we spent a lot of time doing that. But because of that, the design that we did was quite short. It was a small time frame because we had figured it out. And by the end, when we had delivered on exactly the kind of direction that was supported in that discover phase. Mm. So design's a fun part. And in the end, you're looking at stuff and you're going, ooh, nice, pretty, and so on.
Yeah, that's where the customer really gets an idea of the concepts and all of, you know, that's where they get to evaluate sort of where you're at and do some course correcting as well, if that's not quite completing their vision, correct?
Absolutely. And, yeah. You know, input's important. And yeah. We all know what it's like to deal with each other. Yep. Sometimes we understand each other, sometimes we don't.
Correct, yeah.
It's our job to make sure that we just manage it and do our very best to communicate what we can to make sure that we're developing a relationship that works.
Yeah.
And it does take time.
Yeah. And I mean, so obviously with COVID, like in-person meetings and, you know, the ability to get in front of somebody and work through a process like that is really tough right now. So obviously you're utilizing, you know, the technology like Zoom and flicking emails out and so on. Have you found that to be a bit of a barrier to the speed at which people can work out with you, or has it seemed to actually speed things up?
We're not seeing any difference. Okay. The in-person meetings actually is expediting the process. Mm. By taking the in-person meetings out. Got you. I love them. I personally love being in a room, and I love chatting, and I love the
energy. So do I.
Yeah. Well, if you come from a background in sales, you can totally understand.
Yeah.
It's just, there's something about a real connection that is hard to replace. However, we work in a digital realm, really. We use a lot of digital tools. There's so many out there.
Yeah.
We use Slack, which is a communication tool that I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with. That it's really versatile. It allows us to move things. You know, designers can be in different locations, clients can be in different places, but we can all contribute through Slack. It's a great tool. We use something called Envision, which is our mood boards. Those help us provide and put up. It's like Pinterest, but it's collaborative. It's a collaborative tool, and we can set up specifically project to project. People can comment, contribute, and so on. And having that online and having it accessible, you know, on your phone, wherever, that flexibility, I don't think it encumbers the process at all.
Perfect.
It really helps.
That's great. So then the next step along the 4 Ds is deploy, correct?
Develop.
Develop. All right. Walk us through develop.
Develop is more about we've done the design work, we've created the aesthetic, we've got the approach, we've got a strategy, and we just start to implement it. So we put it into, if it's a piece of packaging, we start to pull out the guidelines, we start to draw these pieces up, we start to add in, you know, the stuff that's the non-glamorous parts, you know, the important parts, the UPC codes, the nutritional information, the whatever, the second and third languages, you know, pieces that have to be added in. Mm. All of that happens. That's it's basically production work.
Now, all of you just mentioned, like, obviously language and UPC codes and specific labeling requirements. Is that something that you work with your clients on, or do you outsource that information as well to sort of pull that in so you're working with a bunch of experts?
For the most part, we handle it all in-house. If it's translations, we use translators. Nothing's more important than good translation. I know I'm sure everybody here has witnessed some poor translation somewhere along.
Yeah.
And it's comical and funny. So we try not to be comical and funny on the translation element. But everything else is done in-house in terms of understanding the elements that need to be there. If it is something unique to another country, for example, we might have to, do some research and figure that part out. But all of that stuff is done in-house. We certainly need to, we talk to clients about that at the onset before we're developing their packaging, is to be able to ask a lot of questions as to what's supposed to be on here, who's regulating this, how many languages, which countries are being sold in, and so on. That's just part of the due diligence at the onset to make sure that as we design this thing, designing something in 3 languages and having it exist on a single package obviously reduces the amount of real estate you have to apply marketing and branding elements. So, you know, you have to take that into consideration. Absolutely. And we help guide clients through that.
Yeah. And you know what, I've definitely had some conversations where that seems to be a sticking point or a point at which everything sort of really slows down for a lot of people. So I could definitely understand the value of working with a design agency for yourself just for that purpose alone.
You know? Yeah. Thanks, Hayden, because you're right. That is something that I think people don't understand.
Yeah.
And or why we're asking questions like that at the beginning. Mm. By the way, how big is this? Is this a full wrap? Does it have a window in it? Can we put in a window or all of these things that we've understood? And then to say, okay, great. It's sold in Canada. Well, French and English. Let's see what that looks like. Where do you want to do this? How should we structure this? And those sorts of, they're not obstacles. They're just pieces that you have to consider before you can start to push your design style through.
Yeah,
you
can
create something beautiful, but if you don't have a space requirement for all the things that are required, your design might wind up looking forced or broken or cramped and we don't want that. We want
Totally. You know, and especially, you know, when people need to take into consideration where the scope of this project is going to take them long term, like, is this a packaging piece that they're going to be able to grow with, and does their labeling requirements need to take that into consideration? We've got some customers that sell obviously up here in Canada from coast to coast, but then they also sell down into the States, and they've got a separate bag or they've got a separate SKU that they sell down into the States for those specific labeling requirements. So if there's anybody out there that's thinking about selling down in the States, that's something you definitely need to consider.
Oh, absolutely. And we've done it where we will create designs that will go into packaging that wind up going to Australia, US, Canada. It's all a little bit different.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's variations if somebody decides to sell a product and they sell it in a variety of sizes. That's the other thing. Small cans to large pouches. You've got to be able to make sure the design is flexible enough.
Totally. Well, that's cool. Deploy.
Deploy is the truly, it's the print coordination. It's the working with whatever the system is that's in place.
Yeah.
Whether whether it's direct printing, whether it's the labels and so on, that's the printing coordination piece. That's the final step. This is where the all of the approvals come in, where we're basically approving press files and so on. That's the deploy stage.
Yeah, and I find that the most exciting part of the stage, you know, in the whole process, because that's when I get the emails coming in saying, hey, can we get these turned into proofs? And then obviously we're just looking for signatures and we're triple checking everything before we go to hit the manufacturing button. So, you know, you can see all of the hard work that's been put in place to get to that point, come to fruition. And you know, especially when you've held somebody's hand right from the moment they've walked into the door up until that point, and you've seen the evolution of their design. And, you know, you've spoken to them about their vision, and all of a sudden it's right there in front of you. I find that such an exciting part of the program.
It is exciting. And, you know, in some ways it's almost a little, people get nervous at that stage. I know internally our designers, we'll triple check, we'll triple proof. I've had, you know, I'll have a designer come to me and say, hey, another designer's done the proofing on this, and we have a proofing checklist that we go through, and we check off all the items to make sure we haven't missed anything. And a proofing checklist is something that I had to learn that early. And I learned that from, this is going way back, talking to one of these mentors that I'd spoken to about saying, create a proofing checklist, sweeping checklist, and it'll just allow you to make sure you won't miss anything. And we'll do that. And even sometimes designers will say, I'm nervous. Can you just give fresh third perspective, jump in here and do some proofing? It's really, really important. Because the end, somebody's going to sign for this.
And somebody's going to be on the hook if there's an error involved. And, you know, we've all seen that happen or slip through the cracks over time. And, you know, if a checklist is good enough for a helicopter pilot or a brain surgeon, I think it's good enough for us too, you know, in a lot of ways. And I'm a huge advocate of checklists and templates in my sales process. And I don't mean templates as in, you know, emails that get sent out that aren't personalized. I definitely personalize every single email and make sure they're, you know, relevant to the person that I'm emailing. But I think it's important to have an understanding of the structure and what it is that you're trying to achieve at each point so that you don't miss anything. So yeah, it's really cool to hear that you've got them in the design world as well.
And I just like that you've drawn a similarity between helicopter pilots and brain surgeons, because that's great. Those are professions I'll be happy to be joined in with.
Well, mate, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me, you know? For sure. And I mean, obviously coming from the hospitality industry as well, like, which is just full of checklists, whether it's an opening or a closing checklist within a cafe, especially when you're managing such a huge group of people and you want to see some consistency in the way that you operate your business. I mean, checklists really are the only way to go. So I definitely recommend that to anybody that's got a business out there. And if you're finding that that things get missed along the way, create a checklist. It's a really simple tool that you can implement straight away.
Amen.
Amen. So you've deployed it and then obviously everything goes off to the printer and then you get a physical bag or product in your hand. How does that feel?
If we're lucky, we do. Yeah. You know, every designer will, every time a new designer comes and we connect with them, at some point they'll all have experiences about how much work they put into something and they just love it too, right? Because project-based work is excellent because it always has a beginning, a middle, and an end, and it's always exciting, and then you move on to something else.
Yeah.
Often, very often, designers don't get to see the work that they've done. Yeah. And so we make a good point of always trying to make sure, like, can we get some samples back? We want to put it in our hands. We need to see it. We need to hold it. And we're better at that now than we used to be. We used to be that we'd say, oh, well, we didn't get this. It's, you know, that's okay. They're busy. They're doing stuff. We've had designers go into stores and come back and say, look, hey, I bought the whole line of ice cream because I needed the packaging.
Yeah.
So it is great to see that. And it's an important thing. And so anybody out there, if you're working with a designer and you've got a finished product, send them some samples.
I'm sure they'd appreciate it. But you also need to put it on the checklist, man. It's the last thing you need to ask for.
And
no, I definitely appreciate seeing a finished product in my hand as well. And I just know how much our customers appreciate it as well, especially when you're able to deliver on a promise that you're giving them a quality product and you've obviously held their hand through that process as well. And everybody's really, really thrilled with the product that they end up with. It's such a nice feeling to be able to provide that for them. So, hey, listen, I've just learned so much from you. Is there anything else that you'd like to, are there any other pieces of wisdom or advice from, the design part of the world, speaking directly to a food manufacturer or somebody in the hospitality industry that's designing or has some packaging that needs redeveloping? Are there any other critical pieces that we've missed along this conversation?
I don't think so. Other than just, it's important that, you draw inspiration from everywhere. That's the other thing. Sometimes some great packaging, and I've seen some wonderful packaging. Unfortunately, we didn't do it, but sometimes you see things that you get inspired by, but you see this packaging and you think, where did they get this idea from? Because it's so unique. And then you start to realize if you dig down a little bit and you start talking to people, it's amazing how innovative design can come from different spots. It's not just that you have to sit there and look at packaging examples over and over and over again. Sometimes it's just good to look anywhere at good design because you can never tell what's going to inspire you to do something a little bit different. Sure. So just keeping your eyes open and looking at a lot of things can sometimes influence the project you're working on that doesn't even feel like it's related.
Yeah, I hear. Where do you draw inspiration from? So, I mean, like being a designer, obviously you have to keep a very broad and open mind for everybody else's vision to bring that to fruition. But what are you specifically inspired by in your design that you bring into the world?
I don't know. I guess I tend to, like everybody, everybody's got their fingers on a million different ways to see things. And we live in such a visual world that there's no shortage of channels out there that will provide you with some visual imagery. I think I like to sometimes just go back to, I like to get out and see what visual artists are doing, as opposed to graphic designers or design companies or we can sit there and look at all the ad agencies and see what they're producing and so on. But sometimes just getting out, listening to music, going to an art show, seeing what visual artists are doing is really important. I think it's just a way to, expand your brain a little bit, not because we can get pretty focused on things that's specific to what we're working on, whether it is something like the restaurant industry or if it's food service and so on. You can get so specific to it that sometimes you need to get out there and just shift gears a little bit in order to just expand expand the way you think.
I completely agree. You know, everybody gets caught up in their own little bubble and everybody's so busy these days. But what I find fascinating, just like when you're buying a new car and you're thinking about a car and then all of a sudden you see that car on the road wherever you go, there's that part of your brain that gets activated, which is really unique. So what I've found when I talk to clients at times is, you know, they're in the process of packaging and then all of a sudden they walk into a grocery store and they look at the grocery store through a new lens. You know, and they're really observing and they're really taking note of what's out there in the world and what their competitors are doing. So it's amazing how that part of the brain switches on and at that time as well.
That's such a good point. That's exactly correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You nailed it, Hayden.
I did. Mate, it's just one of those things in life that it doesn't seem obvious at the time, but when you actually reflect on it, it's there right in front of us all along. Yeah. Hey, listen, mate, thank you so much for taking the time to join us on the podcast today. I've definitely learned a lot. And I think that our listeners have definitely taken a lot away from it as well. How can people connect with you online? What's the best way for people to get in touch?
Oh, just through our site. It's eggbeater.ca. The name is Eggbeater Creative, but eggbeater.ca, super simple.
Fantastic.
Jump online. There's even some fun things to do on the website. We put up designs that we put up something called Brain Pickers. It's kind of fun. You go in there and you just... It gives you three choices and you get to choose one and pick the one you like. And after you make the choice, it tells you which one the client picked.
Mate, I spent about half an hour on it the other day. I was really impressed. I'm like, is this a concept that you guys came up with or is it something that's out there? Because yeah, I was drawn in by it and I found it a really great way to sort of see the artwork that you've been doing and the different concepts that you came up with too.
Yeah. Well, that's really great that you said that. Because I just want to, I know we're just wrapping this up, but
yeah.
that came about because we sometimes found that the designs that we liked, that we thought would work, clients wouldn't pick them. So we would present ideas and then they'd pick one and we'd go, oh, I really was hoping they'd go B, not A. And so we decided to develop a little online tool and we actually gave it to clients and we give it to them now.
Yeah.
So if we come up with three concepts, we'll give them a private link and say, go share this with people. That's share it with 100 people and let them come back. Because sometimes we think we know what we like, but then you give it to 100 people and suddenly 70 of them choose the thing you didn't even think they were going to choose.
You know, that's so true. It's not about what something that you like, it's about what specifically your target audience and customer is going to buy and what they're attracted to. I completed my master's in entrepreneurship and innovation a few years ago. And basically the whole premise, if you want to distill it down to sort of one piece, was customer validation. And that's just testing, and, you know, A/B testing until you actually find a solution that is built around a customer's needs and desires rather than your own. And go on to market with something that is tailored towards your specific customer as well. So when I was on your website, that's the first thing I thought of as well. And it was intriguing which one your client chose at times. Wasn't anything negative. I was just surprised at times because you do see the overall voting poll and see which one is the most popular out of the lot. So yeah, that was really cool. And I recommend everybody to get online and check that out. Actually, what I'll do is I'll provide a link to the website, to the specific page on the Eggbeater website so people can check it out in the show notes as well. Cool. Awesome, Clay. Yeah, no worries. Well, look, hey, thank you so much for your time today. I've learned a lot, and I think that there are definitely some key takeaways from this conversation as well that our listeners will find very handy. So, hey, Clay, you're welcome anytime to come back onto the podcast and have a chat.
Well, thanks, Hayden. It was great chatting with you as well.
Yeah, you're welcome. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening today. If you have any questions from today's episode or would like to know more about what I can do to help you achieve your packaging vision, you can reach me directly at hayden@thepackheavypodcast.com. You could DM me on Instagram @thepackheavypodcast, or we could also connect on LinkedIn and start a conversation there. I'll see you next week.